Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for This Week in Google is provided by CacheFly. CacheFly.com.
This is TWiG, This Week in Google, episode 120, recorded November 9th, 2011. Princess of the Nerds. This Week in Google is brought to you by Squarespace.com, the fast and easy way to create a high-quality website or blog. For a free trial and 20% off your new account for 6 months, visit Squarespace.com and use the offer code TWIG11. And by Ford, featuring voice-activated Sync App Link. Now you can control select smartphone apps with your voice, so you keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Check it out on the 2012 Ford Fiesta and at Ford.com/technology. It's time for TWiG, This Week in Google. Wait a minute, let me start the timer. I started the timer. That's good. I'm Leo Laporte, and this show will be exactly 1 hour and 15 minutes long, or heads will roll. But not this head. This lovely head is Gina Trapani of SmarterWare.org. Hi, Gina.
Hi, big head. Howdy.
Good to see you. Did I miss the show last week? I feel like I haven't seen you in ages.
No, I was here. Only 7 days ago, but my heart longs for you, Leo, too, when I'm not on Wednesdays.
I feel good. I feel like I'm back here.
And I love him more than you do.
Stop
Gina.
It, you guys. This
no,
is disgusting.
I love him more than you do.
Jeff Jarvis is also here. I'll tell you from BuzzMachine.com, the author of What Would Google Do, and a brand new book called Public Parts, which you must buy. Period. Just buy it. I'll tell you, I was at an event yesterday. I spoke at Webmaster World. They now call it PubCon. It's for webmasters about marketing and promoting your site and social media, SEO, search engine. Matt Cutts is speaking there today, I think. But somebody asked at the end of my talk, he said, I listen to TWiG. I love TWiG. What do you think the future of Google is? And I said something apparently that really upset the crowd. I heard later that there was murmuring. I said, I think Google's in trouble because I think search is changing so rapidly, and the idea of a web page search may not have as much currency going forward. And what I talked about is Mike Elgin's contention that Siri will intermediate search, and that Apple at least is in fact, Mike wrote this great article. He said this is what Steve meant when he said go thermonuclear on Google, not only taking all the Google apps off of the iPhone, which is in process. You know, Apple's bought three mapping companies. They're clearly going to do a maps. They've already replaced Google Places with Yelp in the Siri search. He believes, and I think he's right, that Siri will ultimately appear on all Apple products, despite Apple's protestations that it won't. Yesterday, I think somebody at Apple said, we have no plans to put Siri on any older devices. And we will never put video on an iPod. And we will never, no one would ever want to read books on a small device, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I think that people are going to get conditioned doing their searches, not typing into the browser, but asking Siri. And at that point, Apple has re-intermediated search.
Yes.
We talk about disintermediation, right? The idea that a travel agent no longer makes sense. You just go right to the airline. You buy the ticket. That's what the internet has been doing all along. But Apple's kind of re-intermediating, saying, we'll stand between you and your search engine, and we'll decide who to choose. We'll let Siri figure out where to find what you want, what it is you're looking for.
It's even better than that. Number one, the whole notion of search becomes antiquated, right? You're just asking it's questions and answers.
Right.
And the notion of a brand to the answer goes away. Siri just told you the answer, which, you know, Google's been going to, too, right? We're going to give you the flight details directly. Now Apple outdoes that.
Google, of course, has voice search, and I've been using their beta version of that. So they have that capability. But in order to use it, you have to go to a Google page.
Right.
If you use it on a mobile device. Now, really what this is going to do is make the Android iOS war be, you know, an all-out shooting match. It's not a cold war. I mean, Android, of course, will continue to be Google dependent, I would presume. So maybe this is just an Apple-only concern.
But Siri doesn't present any Google search results?
It will. If you search the web right now, it will search Google.
Okay.
But there's reason why it has to, and it could use something else. And when you – well, let's put it this way. When you say, find me a locksmith, it uses – it does not use Google. It uses Yelp for the reviews.
Okay.
Anyway.
Interesting.
If you say
Siri give the best search results without having Google involved?
Sure.
You think using other services like Yelp?
I think we know that Bing is as good as Google, right? Is it?
Is it?
I think so. It's close enough. I don't think the user's going to care that much.
Well, here's the interesting thing. If the answer is audio, that's my point earlier, is that there's no brand involved. And so does Google sue Apple at that point and get off of Siri?
Right. So right now, if you say, for instance, how many calories in a bagel, it will give you a branded Wolfram Alpha text box.
Right, but as soon as Siri starts reading the answer back to you,
then you don't know who it is.
Then you don't know who it is, and so the notion of a web page for many transactions, right, many exchanges, becomes ridiculous.
And replacing Google with Microsoft probably isn't something Apple anticipates.
It doesn't matter. It becomes a copyright. You know, does Google? Here's the interesting thing.
Can they copyright results?
Exactly. Hmm. Exactly. Is the order of the results a copyrightable event? Probably is. But is Google really going to want to do that when people are going to say, whoa, you're quoting my headline and you're saying that ain't copyright. You're going to try to copyright your.
Yeah, same thing, isn't it?
So an answer is an answer, man. It's just information.
Hmm. There's also a open source project that just posted a ginormous archive of spider searches, they say, because we can't let Google own all of this. So just as there is OpenStreetMap to replace Google Maps and open source street mapping, I wouldn't be surprised to see kind of open source alternatives to Google.
Well, Leo, I think you're ahead of me, but I think you're right. I'd be eager to hear what Gina says about this, too. But, I, Google fanboy, wrote the book, now out in paperback. But Google's at a juncture where they've got to be careful. The other question, I think, don't we need to get into this too, but Android on the Fire. I was talking to some folks at this conference I was at, and they believe that Android becomes badly disintermediated there. That it, there's nothing special about it. It's just they just used it. Google's in an interesting position.
It's true.
What do you think?
It's true. I mean, Amazon doesn't have to use Google on Fire.
No.
They don't mention Google. They don't say anything about it. But I don't know. Have we seen the search? Is it going to be a Google search? We haven't seen it yet.
That's right. We haven't.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I still think about Google as the best search results out there. I mean, mm-hmm. I tried switching to other search engines and it just didn't work. And in terms of like an open source search engine, yes, search engines are becoming easier to build and it's kind of old school, right? Like finding web pages isn't the most important thing anymore, right?
That's the point, really.
The social part of it.
It may be that Google continues to be the best way to find a web page.
Right.
But yeah, right. So but you got a double whammy here from both ends, right? From one end, you have it's just questions and answers. It's not web pages. Just give me the damn answer to the question, get what I want, right? And the other whammy is discovery does not come through search or brands, it comes through sharing and social. The two hit at the same time with Google in the middle.
What if, for instance, it searched Twitter? And for some search results, that would be better. Or it searched Facebook. Yes. Or conditioned its search results via Facebook, which is what Bing does, right?
Well, part of this isn't just search, too. It's also alerts and things. It says, oh, Leo, you care about the story. We see that it's trending right now. You know, Siri is watching out for you.
Right.
Siri becomes the fabled agent of yore.
You know what I really see happening, actually, and this is happening in a number of ways, is that Apple is moving towards this closed Apple-centric environment where they do everything. And some people will really like this. Some people will prefer it. I might prefer it. I love Siri. So some people might say, hey, this is great, especially on a portable device, which is kind of closed anyway. This is great. And so Apple, but it's not going to be universal. Not everybody's, maybe not even a majority of people will use this. But for those living in the Apple universe, it's Apple, Apple, Apple. There's no Google. There's no anything else. There's Apple. And then there'll be the rest of us living somewhere else.
What you're really saying
the
is
the Wild West of the web.
Wild West. And what will the consequences be? Security issues.
Porn.
For some of us, that's not a consequence. That's a benefit. But
right.
I think our audience, and not just for this show, but for all Twitch shows, is always going to choose the Wild West.
Right.
But we aren't the majority. We aren't, That's not who this is aimed at. Apple doesn't care about us.
This is the App Store model, right?
Yes.
We approve the apps that come in here. We present content in a very specific way. We have rules about how it can be presented, right? So you're saying Siri is like another information delivery mechanism where Apple does the scrubbing and the choosing, the curating and the editing, and says this is how you will get this information, and they can cut out Google from this, right? In the Steve Jobs book, didn't they talk about how Jobs had approached Google and said, "Kill Android, and I will give you home screen real estate on iOS."
I didn't see that in the book. That might have been somewhere else that came out.
Maybe somewhere else I had seen this, but he basically offered. He said, "You know, I will guarantee a few home screen spots on iOS if you stop doing this." And Google was basically like, "No." So it looks like they're doing the opposite. If what you're saying is true, Leo, that they're going to cut off Google services from the iOS experience, either to get them back for Android or because they feel like they can offer a better experience through other services.
I think it's pretty clear that is Apple's overall business strategy.
Yep.
And I guess the question for this show is, does it matter to Google? Do they care? I mean, is it going to be 10%, 20%? I mean, there are 150 million iOS devices. But Google, see, and maybe Google was prescient. Maybe Google was smart when they said, oh, Android, we've got to save ourselves from this potential future, so let's do Android.
Right, but here's
the
problem.
We need our own platform.
Right.
And they will have their own voicing. They'll have their own Siri, right? They'll have Geary.
Wouldn't it be funny if they call it Geary? I like that.
It would be. I like that. Yeah. Every little gear is the perfect Google, right?
It'll be a robot with gears. Yeah.
Exactly. But you know what? You're getting the gears in my head going here. You can hear the noise because it's not web versus app. Now there's a whole new layer, right? There's a layer that's apart from visual presentation, and that's a new app, right? Purely. But it's a whole new layer. I'm not saying the whole world's going to become audio. It's not going to be. But how much share does that take away, and how much is that? And the thing is that Google could have argued that on the iPad, people are going to the browser anyway, and on the browser, they'll still serve ads, so we're okay. But what this really starts to kill is browsers.
Well, and this ties into a conversation we had earlier on Security Now, because Apple has announced that in March it's going to require anybody who wants to be on the desktop app store to sandbox their apps. So they are going to have very much a tight control of apps as well on the desktop. So I don't think it is mobile only. I think this is Apple wants to control. And it's clear from the book that this is Apple wants to control end to end. They believe that they can give a better user experience.
Please allow me to issue the important Buzz caveat, which is that as I'm declaring Siri takes over the world, it may not.
No, it's true.
We may forget about it.
It's a bid. I'm not saying it's going to happen. It's a bid.
No, but it is. It's something to really watch.
Ben Parr wrote in Mashable a very interesting article yesterday. Two schools of thought. The key difference between Apple and Google. Ben is kind of crazily listening to In the Plex and the Steve Jobs biography at the same time.
Oh, wow.
Which must be very confusing.
Throw what would Google do in there?
Yeah, really. And he says, and I know you've observed this also, Jeff, that Google is data-driven.
Right.
Everything they do, engineers are king, and they have a deep respect for data, and they look at the data before they do anything. Apple is design-driven, and in fact doesn't care about the data. Because Steve always felt like the data is after the fact. It's right. Too late by then. You can't ask a user what they want. That is, in a way, two different belief systems. He says, this is Ben Parr writing, clearly no one school of thought is right. Apple and Google are both wildly successful and profitable companies that change the world. Design-focused companies tackle different kinds of problems than data-focused companies. That's true also. Design-focused companies like Apple or Flipboard will focus on creating revolutionary, never-before-seen products because, of course, data can't predict. Data-focused companies like Google have a better chance at revolutionizing existing markets because their products are better and more efficient. I don't know if I would agree with that.
Here's another question for you, and this goes to some of the stories that come later, but does the leader is always closed, the second is and third as a defense go to open? Right? Mm. So Apple, even though it may not be the biggest in size, is the biggest in quality and other things. So it's very closed. Google's response to that is to be very open. Search is number one. It's very closed. But other functions that other people have are open. Does that go anywhere? I mean, does that?
Well, let's throw.
I don't know. I mean, not to sound like a total Google fangirl, but let's not forget that Google was certainly way first with voice interaction. I mean, yes.
But that's the point. That's what Apple does.
Yeah.
Well, right.
They
right.
come yeah. along second and say,
right. Steve's a tweaker.
He's a tweaker.
Right, exactly. But Google rolls it out and says, how are people using voice? They've had Google Voice out for years now. I mean, I'm surely they're using Google Voice transcription data to get better at transcription.
So
they're using the data to very slowly improve the product while we all make fun of what our Google Voice transcripts sound like, right? But then Apple comes along with, you know, a much more polished product. So this was kind of like open first and then closed, Jeff, which is what you were suggesting, that it's the other way around.
Right. Okay, that's what I was trying to get my head around. All right, so if you're Google, what's your strategy? Again, Siri may not take over the world. I thought that having a front and back camera on the iPhone would change human interaction. You know,
I knew it wouldn't. I always knew that nobody wants a
right.
video call. Nobody.
You were right. I was
except
wrong.
Grandma, maybe.
It's happened.
Yeah.
If you're Google, and if you do see a threat from Siri, and you say, you're right, Gina, well, we've had voice, what should they do?
What should Google do now that Siri's out and is so much better?
Yeah.
Is that the question?
And
not just that it's out and better, but okay, fine, you make their voice better, but then how do you get us to use it in ways that are integrated?
Mm-hmm. I think Apple sets the bar for what people expect from voice interaction. You see those Siri commercials. I haven't actually used Siri yet, but I'm dying to. You see those Siri commercials, and you're like, this is amazing. Google's had voice commands forever. Google now, you know, kind of Apple did the same thing with the iPhone,
right.
Even though Schmidt says they started Android before the iPhone got released. The iPhone got released, and suddenly everyone's expectations of what a touchscreen smartphone right. should be changed, right?
Right.
So in a way, Apple has done this with Siri, too. Like, Google voice commands were cool and kind of nerdy, and, you know, we would have our wives laugh at us when we tried to use them. Okay, I'm gonna talk to the phone now, right? But now Apple has released Siri, and it's really cool. I've got this personal assistant that I talk to, you know, into my phone or whatever. So Google now, you know, really has to kind of do what they do, right? Catch up and surpass with, with the nerdy take, you know, with the nerdy improvements, and then you know, another design focused company makes it human again.
All right, Princess of the Nerds. the developer bucket I always throw you in. Okay, so how does, if Google's going to play catch up here and play scale here, they're going to have to open up the voice thing as an API. True?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what Apple has to do, too.
They both have
to. Yeah.
So you, as a developer, how does voice get your juices, you're salivating?
I think that there's huge potential for what you can do with voice. I mean, how many articles have been written about, like, the funny things that you can say to Siri and what the responses are? I mean, people love the delight in this stuff. And not just the jokey, you know, will you marry me, Siri, you know, and you're getting a fun response from that. I mean, opening up those APIs and having tons of developers being able to build on top of those APIs give Google an advantage that Apple won't have as much, right, without opening things up. Is it developers can plug that voice functionality
right.
into everything that they're working on.
So if you're going to go open, pursue it aggressively. Open APIs, do it
right.
aggressively. That's your best hope.
And but you've and also got to tie it to the device, right? If you want to give a command to your device.
Mm-hmm. But
computer,
you can do that to your web browser.
Right.
You can't have it
call somebody.
Well, right. Okay. Some devices don't have a
calendar. Add to your calendar. Right. Like, what Google could do is really integrate like crazy into Docs and Calendar and Plus and all that, I guess, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it'll be interesting. I wonder if in a few years, making a website will involve making not only a touchscreen interface, which now making a website involves making a touchscreen interface, right? It has to look good on an iPad or an Android device. But making a website will also involve making a voice interface.
Wow, interesting.
Yeah,
I have to say, I now make all my appointments through Siri, and when I have to type it in, I get angry.
Wow.
It's like, I don't want to do this. It's too much of a pain in the ass.
You really do want to marry Siri. You love it, Leo.
Well,
no, like,
think about this. You press the button. You say, make an appointment for me Thursday at 5 to get the car washed. And it does it. That's so much easier than any other opening the calendar, going to the day, blah, blah,
amen.
Blah.
Amen. Right. But she's forgetful as I am.
It's so much easier.
Wow.
Curtis B. has a very interesting point in the chat room. He's saying, well, don't forget where Google makes its money is embedded ads and search results. That even if
that's what I'm saying,
even
yeah.
if Apple continues to use Google,
that's
and they could say, here's your search result from Google, but there's no ad.
Siri's not going to say, when it's a voice response, Siri's not going to say, Google says.
Right.
Right. Or
well, even if it does say Google says,
who cares?
It doesn't matter. Google, give them all the credit you want. There's still no ad.
But when you ask Siri a question to get data back, there's a verbal response, but there's also an on-screen response.
Yeah, it doesn't read yet. It doesn't yet read the, for instance, Wolfram Alpha. If you say, what is the color blue? It shows a swatch of blue, and it says from Wolfram Alpha. If you say, how many calories in a bagel? It shows the Wolfram Alpha search result. They clearly licensed this from Wolfram Alpha. By the way, brilliant.
Yes.
It's one of the most valuable features of Siri. I don't know. We're in the flux here. Of course, all of the people at this PubCon who spent their last 3 years trying to figure out how to optimize for search engine results are going, no, please don't. Google.
Please, I just got my head around how to get my page in
no.
the search results.
So Google has a new algorithm. We now have brand pages on Google Plus. Scoble says Google screwed it up. I'm inclined to agree. We're going to talk about that in just a bit. Gina Trapani, Jeff Jarvis. We are talking about Google on This Week in Google. Before we go any further, though, let me talk about Ford a little bit. We have sent out invites. If you didn't get your invite to the barbecue we're doing on the weekend, on this Sunday and on December 4th, we got hundreds and hundreds of requests. I think we sent out 65 invites to both days. I hope we'll see you at the barbecue. It's going to be great fun. I can't wait. Sunday is our next one, and we've got some really good food coming. It's our first one. With December 4th, we will not do a barbecue. We realize that the weather is likely to be pouring rain, so we're going to just take it indoors. Just as an update on that one. Either way, though, it's going to be fun. You're going to watch Twit, watch the game show, and all that stuff. Now, let me talk about Ford a little bit. Ford, of course, it has some great, speaking of voice technology, Ford Sync, where you talk to your car. Is amazing. Your car now talks back to you, by the way, with the app link. OpenBeak is the first to do this. You could say, read me my tweets. Read me my timeline. Read me my replies. And it will read them to you. On some phones, it will read you your text messages, which is awesome. This app link is very cool because Ford, I know this because Alan Mulally, the CEO, told me. He said, phones iterate much faster than we can iterate a car design. So what we decided to do was tie into the smartphone. So when new capabilities come to the smartphone, we can take advantage of them. That's this app link API. Brilliant. My Ford Touch. Did you see this? 250,000 My Ford Touch users are going to get a USB key in the mail. They get in their car. They plug it into the USB port. It updates Touch. This is called 21st century automotive design, and Ford is the absolute leader. You can find out more about it at Ford.com/technology, or better yet, go to your Ford dealer and ask to drive the new 2012 Fiesta with AppLink, the 2012 Focus that turns into a Wi-Fi access spot. So many cool things they are doing. I'm just really thrilled to be associated with them. We're really pleased to be partners with Ford in this, because I think Ford is, of all the car companies right now, the most forward-thinking, doing the most interesting stuff. And I just think they're great. We're polishing the blue oval.
I'm sorry, the Ford is a Wi-Fi hotspot, right?
Yeah.
So you could just be parked around that when you're tailgating or something, and you're all online.
They have access. They have WPA passwords, so you're yes.
Right, but that's cool though. You can give it to
your
friends.
Oh yeah, your car is an access point is hysterical. Anyway, Ford.com/technology. Thank you, Ford, for supporting This Week in Google. So I immediately went yesterday. I know Eileen did for All About Android, right? You created a brand page. I created a Twit brand page. A couple of problems. Can anybody can create a Twit brand page, right?
Yeah, I think there's a fake one up there now. And I was hoping to get somebody from Google Plus.
Oh, good luck. But the Python support script is not going to help you here. So there's problem number one.
Well,
that's the official one.
This is our official page.
It's only got one post on there because here's the other problem. I registered it. Only I can do anything with it.
That's the Scoble. Scoble's
about comment,
that.
And he's absolutely right. He registered Rackspace quickly. You know, you want to grab those brands, right? But now he realizes he is the only guy who can post to the Google Plus Rackspace brand page unless he gives his – and I'm not going to give my Gmail credentials to everybody in the company. So we need some delegation capabilities. I'm sure Google is going to do that, I hope.
They've got to.
We need other admins.
It's really useless for me because I don't have time to post all the Twit stuff. And there's no automated features either. So there's no way I can do that.
Right. The API is read-only, right? So we can't auto-post.
Right.
I was kind of disappointed with the pages rollout because we waited so long for it. I had this notion that there was going to be something special about how you interact with it or how you manage it. Was there anything different
from a regular page?
Not that I've seen. I mean, you know, you add to the circles the same way. Doesn't look like there's a way to verify.
There's auto follow. If somebody circles you, you auto follow them. If they uncircle you, you auto unfollow them.
Okay, that makes sense.
I think you have to turn that on. There's a drop down. So when I go to my page, my Leo Laporte Google Plus page, because I own the Twit page, there's a drop down that says which page do you want to use.
Right, and you can post as that page.
I can post as Twit. Took me a while to figure that out.
Which is the Scoble problem is he's going to screw up sometime and say something that's going to get him before the SEC. Right. Boy, things are going great at Rackspace. Right, and they're in a quiet period.
Apparently, Vic has said we will have administration capabilities. They're going to add that. But it seems like they should have had that.
Shouldn't they have rolled out with it?
Yeah. My real concern is the land grab. Everybody's going to get all of our shows. We are not going to control any of our show pages.
There has to be some sort of verification process.
There has to be. If they're all big on you using your real name, then it follows automatically that you've got to have trust in the brand name being real.
Well, I've noticed on some brand pages, like Pepsi and the ones that Google promotes, there's a verified.
Oh. Yeah, okay. So that's just going to be a matter of rolling that out.
But I'm not verified. Show me Twit again, Eileen. I don't think Twit's verified yet.
No. Sorry.
And that requires that they kill the non-verified Pepsi pages.
See the little box next to Twit? That's all it says.
Oh.
There's a checkbox on some. Try Pepsi plus Pepsi.
Gina, you're so right. I was disappointing is they didn't think through what your relationship with a business ought to be.
There's a verified.
That's what I thought they were doing. I was like, they're going to do something different from Facebook. You know, they're going to rethink how there's going to be some kind of twist to the way that you interact. They're going to know that there's a big difference between a company and a person. And those differences are going to come through in how you interact. And I can't wait to see this. And then it rolled out and I was kind of like, this is.
Yeah. It should be going after Doc Searle's vendor relationship management model. Where suddenly you get a new chance to have a new relationship with the company. They could have thought that through in really
now,
new ways.
Apparently, somebody in the chat room said, and this makes sense, this is Google-ish, you could put a meta tag on your website to do the verification.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So you can tie it into your website.
That's
going to not help me at all on the show pages because they don't have dedicated websites.
Even if we have a dedicated link
to a show? So somebody could make it, and I'm sure has by now, because we have a very intrepid audience, has probably made a Twig page. But I don't have a Twig site that I can verify it. I don't know.
Well, don't you have the slash Twig page?
I think it has to be the TLD, doesn't it? It has to be the top-level domain.
I don't know.
I don't know. Well, we'll try it.
Because your TLD isn't necessarily a brand. Yeah. Wait, Leah. Okay, but it's a company page, or is it a company page or a product page? I mean, does Procter & Gamble have one page, or does it have 500 pages?
Well, apparently the way they want to do it with us is there's a Twit page, and there are not dedicated show pages. And Eileen and I conversed. She said, can I create an All About Android page? And I said, of course you can. That's exactly what we should have, is every show should have its own page.
Sure.
But we have no way of verifying those show pages as far as
Wait, but I'm just going back to the architecture. So if you are General Motors, you're going to have. All right, sorry for the example here, but it's just because it's multiple.
Ford.
You're Ford, and you're Lincoln Mercury,
right.
And you're
right.
Shouldn't you have more than one page? I mean, that's obvious. I'm trying to think of a better example.
I don't know.
Does Ford want to have a Mustang? Ford is a better example. Ford should darn well want to have a Mustang page versus a
There must
Taurus
be.
Page.
I should. You know, I haven't looked into this deeply enough. Maybe there's a way that you can do this verification by postcard or something.
Well, here's General Motors right now, verified and not verified.
What do you do if you do a if I do plus General Motors? Do both pages show up?
Yeah.
Well, that's not what you want.
Well, but now let's go to the free speech end of it. Now, if you want to do your I don't like General Motors, I like Ford page, should you have the right to do so on Google Plus? Well, no, because the name has to be real.
I could make a General Motors page that has, as its logo, a Ford logo.
How much have we seen on Google Plus? And I hate to say this out loud because now it's going to happen. But how much have we seen, you know, sock puppetry? Are there other Leo Laporte pages up there? People try to be you?
I'm sure there are, but I don't know. There are on Facebook, despite Facebook's claim that they verify everything, and there's not much you could do about it.
There's one other Leo Laporte, but not. It looks like somebody who genuinely has your name.
Actually, called
Leo.
Leo Laporte. Yeah, it's not an uncommon name.
Yeah,
it's sonorous. It sounds good together.
How
yes.
about let's go to Plus this weekend? What do you get? I'm worried.
Uh-oh. Well, here we go.
So we've got. I just did a little Plus this week.
There's this weekend photo. This weekend marmalade.
Mentalist.
This weekend. This weekend
blackness.
This weekend Chicago dance calendar. Huh.
I mean, I could do more searches, but
no,
these
that's
are the
all right.
Pages.
That's interesting. Huh. Oh, well, I think it's beta.
Yeah, well, always, right? I'm still hung up on this idea of, like, treating people, like, equating people and companies. When I started to circle companies and brands, I thought, well, are these things going to be flagged differently in my circles? Am I going to be able to see that, this is a brand and not a person? And I thought what was really interesting was that the promo video for Google Pages was this, like, really cool, friendly guy who runs this little bike shop and wants to serve his customers and does hangouts. And it focused on this one gentleman who seemed like a very savvy business owner, right? But the reality is that most big companies don't have just one person behind them.
Right.
And, it's just there's a huge difference between businesses and people. So, you know, Google Plus is supposed to be all about people. So it just surprised me that that brand and business pages behave exactly like.
Well, especially because this Google Direct Connect, this new feature where you just plus brand name is supposed to, you know, you follow Toyota, you type plus Toyota in the Google search box.
Yeah.
And then it goes right to the Google Plus page. And you hit enter and you're circled them.
This is me not being a Google fangirl. That was such. I'm Direct
That's
Connect really, really disappointed me. This feels like the marketing yes. team beat out the engineering team. Like the fact that they. that they stopped using the plus sign as like a very common search operator for years and years and years in order to do Direct Connect. Bummed me out. Gotta say what's true.
Yep.
Not happy. I like that you have to opt in, right? So this doesn't happen automatically. You have to opt in that the first time that you do the plus search, it says, hey, do you want to Direct Connect with brands this way? And you can say no thanks. So that's good.
Yeah, but everybody's going to say yes. Why would you say no?
Yeah, I mean, you know.
I mean,
sure,
that's convenient.
Google Plus, right, it's convenient. But I still can't believe that they gave up the regular plus search operator to do Direct Connect.
It's no longer engineering driven. It's very clear there's some marketing in here.
It felt like it really did feel like a shift to me. I was like, oh, Google's doing this is all about driving traffic to Google Plus and less about serving sort of people who know how to search the web.
Well, the other disappointment, Gina, I mean, fanboy now disappointed, is back to your prior point. If they were going to make people and companies exactly the same, then why the hell didn't they let them into Plus from the beginning?
Right.
And just have it be a data point. Are you a person or are you a brand?
Right. I mean, it seemed like they didn't think about it. The whole thing has just been strange. I want to believe that there are new features coming out for brand pages and company pages, which are going to differentiate themselves, differentiate them more. But, the whole thing has just been strange. Google Plus launches. Everyone starts to make brand pages. They say, no, stop, don't do that. You know, they're coming. They made a point to ask everyone not to do that. And then they came out and okay, they're functional, but they don't do anything more than Facebook pages do. In fact, they do less because there's very few administrative functions that Facebook pages have. And I'm a big believer. I really think that social media updates for an organization or a brand are so much more effective when they're personal, when they're signed by a human, right? So like Barack Obama tweets on the White House account. And it sees more responses, when he signs it, BO, it sees more responses than the White House has ever gotten, right? Because they generally use it as sort of this, like, faceless voice of the
institution.
Who wants
to talk to a factotum?
Right.
All the more reason to have multiple people. So when Eileen, says something in our page, people respond to Eileen as a person. Exactly.
Exactly. Exactly. So the Twig page, if Leo and you and I and Eileen could post to the Twig page and have it clear who's saying what, I mean, that would make it a, much richer experience.
Incredible.
It would be great.
Well, they say they're going to do that.
They didn't do is ask companies and ask us in public what they should do.
We could have told them this right away.
I mean, just ask, what would Google do, Google?
It's an obvious flaw.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, but okay, now, okay, I'll make the argument in the other direction, but that is the kind of the idea is publish, then iterate. Publish, then iterate. So
right, this is Google's approach always.
This is how they ask. They do it.
Yeah, all right.
And then we go,
right, so then they listen to the feedback and they iterate, right. which they have been doing.
Presumably they will iterate.
Yeah.
But there's going to be this interim where there are a lot of phony pages created, and I don't think they really understand the onslaught and the difficulty they're going to have in validating these pages. It's going to be a nightmare for a while.
I have this fantasy that, of course, which is absolutely untrue, but that there's a conference room somewhere at Google and there are 10 people sitting around watching the show right now saying, I think that's true.
I think that's true. I met a number of people from Google who said, in fact, I met a guy who does the Portuguese localization of Matt Cutts' work, and he works out of Dublin, and he said, I just want you to know, everybody in Dublin watches. Hello, Dublin.
Hi, Dublin.
So, I think that they do pay attention. Who knows? New algorithm for search to make it more timely. Would you explain this to me and Jeff, Gina? Because I think you probably understand it. Maybe Jeff, I don't know. I don't understand it.
Oh, Gina, you go.
You go. So the problem is stale results, right? Cobweb pages. You get a result that of a page that's no longer up to date.
Right. And this is exactly what we were talking about earlier, right? That expectations about search are changing. When you have services like Facebook and Twitter, you expect your results to be totally real time. And there for a while, Google had that deal where real time search results from Twitter were embedded inside.
I wish they had taken that out. I loved that.
Of the results. And that deal came to an end, so it's not happening anymore.
Right.
So it looks like this is, Google changes their search algorithm constantly, tweaking, but they're concentrating on getting results to be more real time. And now this is an area where it's not easy for other folks to compete as well as Google, right? Like, this is Google's competitive edge,
right?
That they've got the scale and the capability to do this kind of thing. It's just a matter of getting fresher content up faster. It's nothing very technical about it. I mean, certainly a lot of very very technical stuff behind it, but for the users, from the user perspective,
I think there's another angle here, which is that there's a new pressure to do this, which is sharing as the new means of discovery and distribution. Your shared stuff is going to be much, much fresher.
Right.
And
yes.
So the things you're going to learn from Twitter and Facebook and whatever these means are through sharing are going to make the search results look staler. But the problem then becomes, you go to the other problem, is that I don't want just the freshest stuff. I want the canonical pages.
Yeah.
Right?
Wikipedia pages and the IMDb pages,
exactly.
Those pages that are just are up to date and they're authoritative by nature. But that's a really good point that you made, Jeff. This is part of the plusification of everything, right? There's this added pressure to share. So there's this pressure as a publisher to be on Google Plus, to be in lots of circles, to verify your account so that it shows up for your name and that your name shows up. And when you share links, it shows up that you shared them for people who are following you. And so this is another pressure on folks who are concerned about things like SEO. Get your stuff shared. Your stuff is more interesting and more authoritative if other people have shared it.
Right. So how is it working? Any feedback on? I mean, I just searched for Jeff Jarvis. Search result number one was Buzz Machine, as it should be. Then About Me on Buzz Machine. Then your Wikipedia entry, and then your Twitter account. I mean, this looks the same. I don't see. Maybe Jeff isn't the best example.
I'm boring. I don't do anything.
Yeah. Let's do. What's timely? Oh, Kim Kardashian.
You know where your mind is, Leo.
There's a calculator on the web that says you put how long when you got married. It tells you how many Kardashians. And I've been married for 142 Kardashians. Okay, so. First result, I think this is not new. News for Kim Kardashian, that's not new, right?
No, that's
always been there. I don't know how this is different.
What would be talked about on blogs and such?
Something timely and topical.
I mean, one of their examples is like Occupy Oakland, for example.
Okay,
or
there
NBA
you go.
Lockout, like a news event.
Okay.
Or Steve Jobs.
So let's do a search, Eileen, for Occupy Oakland. I don't know. Is that going to?
Yeah, here we go.
What do we get? So that's more. Yeah. Okay. So in the news, of course, that's always going to be up to date. Then the ABC News link, that's pretty recent. So they're using a new crawler. There's Jon Stewart. That's good. They're using
right.
a new.
So that's not
but that's 4 days
news,
old, 6 days old, thing. 6 days ago, 1 day ago, 3 hours ago. They're using this new spider called Caffeine. I love the name. That continually crawls a site. Although I have to say, you know, I look on my logs for our sites. Google's almost always, there's always three or four Google bots on our site all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how that's different.
Yeah, it looks like this also works well for, like, recurring events. So, like, presidential election, for example.
Okay.
You're not going to want the Wikipedia page for presidential election.
Right.
You know, you're going to want the most recent election.
Right.
So this
presumably
is,
they look at the click pattern to say people are looking for fresher results. Ergo, we'll give them fresher results. They're looking for more long-lasting results. We'll give them that.
Yeah, it says this change impacts almost 35% of search results. I don't know that this is something that you can see. I mean, they're not marking, you know, hey, this is the
Joe Paterno. Look for Joe Paterno. That's a really good
what is this due to SEO strategy? Right, all that SEO strategy is going zoop out the window and becomes a social strategy.
Right.
You want to rise up, you better be talked about, or else you ain't going to be there.
See, those canonical sites like his Penn State page, his Wikipedia page, those still are very high. In fact, they're number one and number two right after news, then images.
That and, also may be because people are saying, who is this guy again?
And now 7 hours ago, 6 hours ago, 2 hours ago,
okay,
seven hours ago, 1 day ago. So now all the rest of these results are, in fact, the latest.
And if you really want to try to look up Joe Paterno's win record and that kind of stuff, once you get past Wikipedia, you're going to have to go through a lot of pages on that before you get back to the football.
I think his Wikipedia was this the third result. So,
but I know what I'm saying is if you want to then read sports stories about him rather than scandal stories about him.
Well, that's a good point.
How many pages do you have to go on Paterno?
That's a very good point. This does not benefit the Herman Cains and Joe Paternos of the world. I mean,
maybe the end of his tenure there, and it may be the big story of the moment, but is it representative of Joe Paterno canonically as a topic? Not at all.
Yeah.
Right. No, it isn't.
Go ahead.
At the bottom of the blog post, Google clarifies that 35% of searches will have at least one result affected by this change, but only 6 to 10 will be like noticeably different.
Got
so Paterno is probably noticeably different, but you know, a year from now, the results for Joe Paterno should be much different.
Let's hope so, because they not only make them more up to date now, but continue to improve.
Right.
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 We're going to take a break. Is Mark Zuckerberg underestimating Google? Bradley Horowitz says he's delighted to be underestimated. We'll talk about that in just a second. We're talking about Google this week in Google with Gina Trapani from smarterware.org and thinkupapp.com, Lifehacker founder, and of course, Jeff Jarvis, the author of Public Parts, brand new from, I almost said Simon & Schuster.
It is
Simon & Schuster.
Yes.
How is Mr. Simon and Mr. Schuster? How are they doing these days?
I think they're doing very well.
Nothing much on the up-to-date Google search results on Mr. Simon and Mr. Schuster, however.
No.
Not many changes of late. I want to talk about Squarespace.com, the secret behind high-quality websites. And notice I say websites, not just blogs. Great for a blog, but for any kind of website, Squarespace.com has the best. Almost everybody has a website builder, you know. But usually the trade-off is easy to use, crappy websites. They look like everybody else. Squarespace has, it's all about the software. It's web hosting plus this exceptional software. So, yeah, sure, other web hosts have site-building software. Don't confuse that with this. This is optimized for creating and managing a website that looks unique, that looks brilliant for both beginners and experts. If you know CSS and JavaScript, there's nothing you can't do. You get hundreds of design templates to choose from, completely customizable. And if you're a beginner, you could use your mouse to drag, drop, slide. There are iPhone, iPad, and Android apps for updating your site on the go. You know, I'm really pleased that the Android app has the full feature set of the iOS app. It came later, but they duplicated it, and I think that's great. And that means you can do blog comments, you know, kill spam, see your stats, all of that stuff. They've got a great special support team to give you help 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And the modules that come with this service, so you pay for hosting plus this software, include the blog module, which will import and export WordPress, Blogger, Movable Type, and Typepad. Did I say import and export? Very important. The form builder for collecting email addresses and other information. The Flickr photo widget, the Twitter widget, the social media buttons, Google Maps integration. Website tracking with the best built-in search engine optimization. Permissions access handling. They did what Google Plus didn't do. You can have many authors on your blog. They support it all. I just want you to check it out. Go to squarespace.com. There's a trial offer. You just click that big green button. You don't need a credit card. Literally just 2 weeks. You try everything 100%. And if you'd like 20% off your new account for 6 months, use the offer code TWIG11. We're in November, so TWIG11, TWIG11, and you'll get 20% off for the next 6 months. I love Squarespace. We use it for our own inside.twit.tv blog. You know what we did the other day? It was on Twit. I said, everybody watching, try to bring down our Inside Twit blog. You know, we will bring down any site because there's thousands of people watching. They will all go there. They will bring it down just by going there. And we were not able to bring it down. You can't bring down a Squarespace site. I don't care. You cannot tweet it. We put our This Week in Twit show there, which is Lisa Kensel, our CEO, and I talk about what's going on with Twit. I don't know what we're doing there. We also
looks like you're killing flies.
Well,
which is my next post.
And that's
how
the next
to kill
post.
Flies.
You know, our staff is so innovative. They have brought in Venus fly traps and pitcher plants, and it's working. It is working.
There it is.
That's awesome.
Right there.
All natural, baby.
We
love
had
it.
a fly infestation. I haven't seen a fly all day. And we actually shine a light through the Venus flytrap, and you can see a fly inside.
Oh, that's awesome.
It works.
Well, we had that weird tape.
We were using fly paper.
And that killed a bunch because there's some gross flies on the tape.
I think we could throw away the fly paper. This is organic. It's natural. It improves the CEO. The CEO and the CO2.
Both.
Certainly improves my disposition. Anyway, that's a Squarespace site if you want to take a look at it. Go ahead. Try to bring it down. Squarespace.com. Use the offer code TWIG11 for 20% off. I did not. I was traveling, so I wasn't able to see the Charlie Rose interview with Zuck and Cheryl. How was that?
I didn't get to watch it either. I read the stories about it.
It is online now, so you can,
yes,
you can see
it
in
is.
Full.
I didn't get to watch the whole thing. I started to watch it. It was I was really happy that he had both Mark and Cheryl on.
Somebody said that Cheryl really felt like adult supervision.
Call it like you see it. I don't know. Eileen, no. You saw how that.
I would disagree. I actually thought that they looked like they were more compatible working together.
Well, they're clearly a great team.
I just think that if you watch the interview, they seem to it seems like they think eye to eye.
They complete each other's sentences,
yeah.
Kind of thing.
Unlike the last video, which I saw a couple months ago with Schmidt and Paige on stage,
yeah,
and it really
was
still felt like he was doing
a
parent supervision.
Yeah.
Right.
It could be just me, but I really felt that. I felt a little more like they were working together.
It's on YouTube, so we can watch. I'll have to go see it now. One of the things that Zuck said in that interview was that he felt like Google was trying to build its own little Facebook. I like that.
That was cute. Yeah.
Slightly condescending.
Yeah, that's Google's trying to build a little Facebook. And Bradley Horowitz, I don't think he said it like that, but anyway. And Bradley Horowitz says, I'm delighted to be underestimated. Bradley, of course.
Good answer.
The VP of
As they
product.
Say on Family Feud, good answer.
Good answer, Brad. Good answer. He rejected comparisons between Google, Facebook, and other social networks as being little more than fodder to give the media advertising and click-throughs, with the Google man insisting the company is focusing... who wrote this? This is from The Next Web. So I'm reading somebody's writing here, and I'm not quite understanding it. The company's focused on making its services better and not watching the competition. Yeah, right. It's just chance that it looks exactly like Facebook. It's just chance.
I mean, I got to say, Zuck kind of earned the ability to make that statement. I mean, come on. Google Plus is Google is clearly playing catch up with Facebook, with Google Plus. I mean, even Stephen Levine in the Plex, you know, described how they had that panic moment of like, oh, crap, Facebook's doing something really important. And if we don't do something about it soon, you know, we're going to be left in the dust. So, yeah, and of course, I think Bradley's response was appropriate, but I find the whole thing really amusing.
There's Charlie Rose in his pink tie.
Well, you're right, Gina. Too is that Zuckerberg's been saying that every business is going to become social, and I guess the extent of that is even Google. You know,
right?
Games, they have to. Music.
The question is, can they? The question is, can they do it and survive? You know, can they make that pivot? It's a pivot.
Well, we were just talking about it a minute ago, right? That's where they're changing search. That's why search, by being fresher, search is in fact more social.
Right.
Because how do they know it's fresh and hot? Social.
Right.
Sharing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yep.
Zuck also said that Google, Yahoo, and Microsoft collect data behind your back. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, we collect data right in your face. he says, "No, but I have to say, I admire Zuck for not saying, you know, Google stole our ideas and we're going thermal nuclear war on them."
Well, he's had a little trouble talking to that. I think he wants to avoid that line of.
Yeah, I think he learned the lesson.
Yeah.
He downplays the notion that Facebook's at war with Apple, Google, and Microsoft. He took, you know, some nice little shots, but mostly I think his message was the message that Facebook paid those PR people to spread, which is that it's not just us collecting data. Everybody else is collecting data. In fact, he says that they're collecting more data and behind your back.
Yeah, well, Zuckerberg's been saying to me, what he said to me when I interviewed him was, when you get a Green Day ad on your page, you know it's because you said you like Green Day.
Right.
There's nothing mysterious about that. And that these are things that you're doing for your life. Whereas everybody else, that he created an application that does that because you want to do it. Whereas everybody else is kind of getting it on the sly because it's not part of what you're really doing. It is a byproduct. Whereas at Facebook, it is the real product.
He also says that Facebook gives you more control. And he acknowledges that's very important.
I don't know if that's true. I think it's truer now than it was.
Right.
Yeah.
He says that Sheryl Sandberg said that it's like caller ID. Remember when caller ID came out? People were up in arms. They said it was a violation of the caller's privacy to have their numbers revealed. It's now mainstream and it's expected. And she says, so people get used to it. She says, people get used to it. Does that seem a reasonable? I think
it does
seem reasonable.
I think it is. I think it's
reasonable. It's a good metaphor. But you know what? Prank calls don't happen the way that they used to.
That's right.
Since a caller ID. I mean, people change their behavior about how they use the phone for the better.
Because, and doesn't it annoy the hell out of you when people block their caller ID?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah,
I hate it.
Absolutely.
It's like, I want to know.
You want to know, right? I pick up the phone differently depending on whether or not I know who it is.
I presume it's not somebody I want to talk to. Unfortunately, one of my wife's best friends has blocked her caller ID. So I see caller unavailable. I go, oh, it's Michelle.
Right. Well, right. I have that one person in my life who, one person who's blocked. I say, oh, I know who this is.
I won't let them tell me anything.
Well, I think that Cheryl's point was a good one.
I
don't think that saying Facebook collecting data about you is as harmless as caller ID because of that behavioral change. Like, I think that people are still learning that when they say, oh, yeah, I like Green Day, that they're not just sort of saying I like Green Day.
Yes.
They're providing a signal to Facebook, give me Green Day. And I think that there's a difference. There's a difference between, you know, just having a thought and publishing a thought.
And you think users know that like button is that's not just telling Green Day I like you, but telling, they know that that's telling Facebook that's
our audience does.
Our audience does that.
You know, sometimes I'm reading an article, I'm like, oh, this is a great article. And I go to hit the like button and I'm like, you know, this is going to show up in my stream. Everyone's going to think that I agree with everything the author has said. And I think twice about it because I realize what the implications are, but I think it's just so easy to just say, oh yeah, you know, I like this. And then suddenly
that changes too with the verb, you know, changing from like to reading.
Yes.
Which is what they're trying to do too, is it just becomes actions rather than opinions. There was the Washington, was the Washington Post or the Washington Post or NPR, they always get their knickers and nuts about this, scolded a journalist for retweeting something when that they should have shown that they didn't agree or something. So right. Someone was proposing a new notion, which I don't much like, that we have RT, we have MT, modified tweet, and the next one was NT, neutral tweet, retweet.
Huh. That's interesting.
Right, like, I just think this is interesting and you should see it, but I don't necessarily agree or disagree or endorse.
And basically, yeah. it should be DFBT, which is don't fire me tweet.
Oh, boy.
There should also be, like, CYA tweets, you know.
Right.
Like,
better. You win.
You know.
Required tweet.
Yeah, the boss is looking.
Rose asked Zuckerberg when Facebook would hit 1 billion users. Zuck said, if we do well, end of 2012. Yikes.
Wow.
That's a significant number. He said one of the ways that'll happen is through China.
Danger, Will Robinson.
Sandberg said you can't connect the whole world and not connect China, but because of the restrictions,
they're trying
China...
to get us ready for whatever compromises they're about to make.
Oh, that's interesting. You're right.
And this is planned PR, and they're going to start.
Exactly.
They've
got to
go through the Google territory now with China.
The way things are going in China, they're going to have to make a lot of compromises.
Yeah, and that's a real problem.
Yep.
Because what they, you know, architecturally, the problem Google made was they made different rules in China.
Right.
And they thus violated their principles. So Facebook, in my mind, had better hold principles here. And if it treats China differently than it treats the rest of the world, then what are their damn principles?
So if China requires that someone provides their identification card in order to sign up for Facebook, right, which is where things are going with microblogging services in China right now, where you have to provide your identification cards that they associate every single account with a real person. Do you think that that's a reasonable or unreasonable compromise?
Well, that's really interesting, Gina, because basically that's kind of
what Google was doing
with Google Plus.
Papers, please. Where are your papers?
I mean, I think it's a problem, don't you, Gina? I mean, that's the whole real name thing.
But I don't think Facebook's going to have a problem with that.
No,
I think
they'll agree to that.
Wanted real names, you know, and this will just be a matter of making sure they really, you know,
Here's the next thing. Here's the next thing, which I got a problem with that, but fine. Let's say that Facebook said bad, Jeff. So the next thing is, what's Facebook's policy on handing over your private stuff?
Well, that's the thing, right? I mean, right. Once the identification card is provided, then the government has the ability to verify everything that you publish.
Facebook
says... Oh, no, they don't. Not if you haven't befriended them and you've made everything private to somebody.
But Facebook says we comply with the local laws in every region.
But here in the U.S., that means subpoenas, and it means that it's, discoverable. What if China says, no, we just get to read everybody's stuff.
We get to read everybody's stuff, and we get to delete the stuff that we don't like. I mean, that's the next step. That's the next step, yeah.
How far will Facebook go? What are their real principles?
That's a good question. It'll be interesting to see what happens.
All I know is I can get porn on my Google TV. It's
I was thinking Jobs is just
He's spinning in his grave.
He's just spinning in his
grave. I'm still waiting for the update to my Logitech review to Honeycomb. I'm really excited about that. Every day, every night, now I reconnected it, and every night I go, settings, no update.
Me too. Yeah. Me too. Although Matt Howey posted a photo of his Sony unit.
Sony's happening, so...
Jobs is smiling about something else today.
What's that?
Oh, yeah.
Flash.
Yes, victory.
Oh, yes.
Adobe has decided that they will no longer support Flash in the mobile environment. So not just iOS, but across the board. You know, it never worked well on Android. So they said, and it's actually a victory for not just Jobs, I think, but for HTML5.
Oh, yeah.
They say we're going to...
And they said straight out, it's better.
Yeah.
You know, grown-up points to them for saying it.
Yep.
Yeah, but there's definitely an I told you so coming from grave. That's for sure.
Good. I think he did the right thing. I think it was right to do that, and I'm glad Adobe finally let it happen.
Is that what you said at the time, Leo?
Yes.
Was.
I did support that because Flash is, first of all, a major security problem, but mostly it's a pig.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
And what I said, I believe, and we should go back and look at the tape, But what I believe I said was, this is going to be good. We're going to get rid of Flash. It doesn't belong on the I don't like Flash in general. It reduces accessibility on websites. It makes I think it's not an asset on a website. And HTML5 is available. There are better solutions.
And it makes things less searchable. Now, Silverlight is also getting some bad signals, too, right?
Never liked that either, but I don't know.
There was also news about that today, too. I can't remember what it was.
I don't remember either, but Microsoft is all in on Silverlight, so I think that's
good. No, I heard that there was some lack of support on Silverlight. Let's see if this new, fresh Google search
works. Do a fresh search on that.
It helps if I spell it Silverlight.
How about the Nook tablet and the Fire? We're going to get those next week. Amazon's Fire comes out November, 15th? And the 15th. Following that, the Nook tablet comes out November 17th. It will be $50 more. They're touting the fact that it has twice the memory, twice the speed. Will anybody even notice? Will anybody even care? If you can get Amazon for $50 less, don't you think you're going to do that? I think that Barnes & Noble's got a challenge here.
Well, I haven't seen enough about the Nook. Does it have more of Android in it?
Same. It's basically the same. But you're buying it from BNN, not Amazon.
We have breaking news from...
Breaking news.
It's not really breaking news.
Tom Merritt, ladies and gentlemen of TNT Tech News Today.
Jo Foley reported that sources told her Silverlight 5 will be the last Silverlight.
Holy cow. That was the story. Holy cow. Microsoft was equivocating at their last conference over Silverlight. They didn't want to say about Windows 8 and Silverlight, so now we know.
As a developer, I just love to see how mobile devices and smaller screens are affecting decisions about web design and about the way that we make the web, simplifying design and also getting us back to the place where we're trying to preserve CPU cycles and preserve memory. You know, but those constraints, I think, are actually a really good thing.
Yeah,
make us cut out hogs like Flash and Silverlight. I guess.
Moving fast because I want to get a few more headlines in, and we got to get going for TNT. Eric Schmidt responds to the Jobs book saying, "I've decided not to comment on what's been written in a book after his death." According to Reuters, Steve is a fantastic human being and someone who I miss very dearly. As a general comment, I think most people would agree. Google is a great innovator, and I would also point out that the Android effort started before the iPhone effort. So that is his response to...
A game of last word, yes.
Yeah. And I guess he does have the last word on that. What about fact check? Is that the case? The Open Mobile Alliance, the Android pre-Google Android, certainly predates iPhone.
But there's no way to tell how much the iPhone did or didn't affect Android is today.
The first Google phone...
was released. They shipped before?
Well, no, the iPhone came out...
Yeah, the iPhone came out before the first Android.
Oh, sure.
Phone, right?
Yeah.
So there's no way to tell.
I remember getting the G1. The G1 was very disappointing. I had a slide-out keyboard.
It was.
And I remember that Colleen, who's a big Google fangirl and ended up going to Google, of course, did not like the iPhone. I had the iPhone, original iPhone, and she said, no, wait till November. Wait till November. Wait till the Google phone comes out. So I don't know. I think that the fact check on what Eric said... May hold differently. That may be the last word. Let's see what else. There's a new activity tab on Twitter. If you go to your Twitter webpage, you'll see activity. Looks a little bit like, in fact, exactly like the Facebook activity stream. Favorites, follows, and tweets from people you follow. So look at that.
Yeah, it exposes interesting. You can see who your friends have recently followed and favorited, and it exposes more activity on Twitter, which I like.
That. I think that's useful.
Mm-hmm. There's also the right area over here too, activity.
All right, my friends, we're going to get to our I'll give you one chance because I know you all have pet stories before we get to our tool tip and number of the week. Last thoughts.
I want to have a lot of drunk readers, so I have to mention that there's a Chipotle nutrition calculator online.
So you can Chipotle responsibly and healthily.
And somebody went after me saying, oh, watch out, Jarvis, but I don't have the barbacoa. I just have the veggie with black beans and rice. And the new brown rice.
NutritionIX.com/Chipotle.
The barbacoa is so good, though, Jeff.
I've never
Is it really fattening? Is it really bad?
I think anything called barbacoa is going to be pretty bad.
Why? It's just barbecue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I already got my Glee review in the pre-show, so I'm good. But I had to say Glee at least once. If you didn't see last night's Glee episode, then...
I didn't. It's the sex episode, apparently.
The sex episode, yeah.
Oh, parental guidance suggested.
Yes, parental
maybe that's what they meant on my Google TV. I don't know.
Hey, that porn app, by the way, is not an Android app. It's just a Google TV optimized website.
Ah, okay.
Yes. So
no way anybody could stop that.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. And no one wants to watch porn on their TV anyway. So
I don't know what
that
to
caused
say.
Pause here, Gina.
I'm thinking. I don't know what that means.
I expected something.
I'm
you
trying
guys.
To think what that means. I don't know what that means.
Not sure.
Come on, you want it on a smaller screen?
Oh.
Okay, yeah. Let's
some people want it on a bigger screen. But
that's actually an age thing, Gina, because back in the day, we didn't have smaller screens.
I think size doesn't matter. That's what I've been told.
You had to get the VCR, lock yourself in the den.
So, back in the real day, which I didn't have the courage to do, you had a really big screen.
You had to go to a movie theater in a raincoat.
How strange is that?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I don't think porn really took off until you could get it at home, right? That was really.
I used to live across from Brooklyn Heights. I lived by one, and I'd sit at the McDonald's and watch the guys skulk in across the street, and it was just so. Yeah.
It required a level of shamelessness, which is no longer required.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Leo, have you ever thought of doing This Week in Porn?
You know, we had Eric Ries on, the author of The Lean Startup, the other day, which I thought was great. He's really...
That was a really good interview.
Really interesting. One of the things he said is, you know, entrepreneurs don't go for the money. If you're in it for the money, just cut to the chase and do porn.
Right.
You know, you want to make money fast, do porn.
I'm not sure that's true anymore. That's not true anymore because abundance has hit porn. Porn was a scarcity market. Because only so many people would shtup and...
Right.
And...
Now everybody's doing
themselves.
It.
Now there's no shortage of people who will take their clothes off.
All right.
Not that I know.
I don't know.
Let's go to the tip and the number.
I'm sorry that I started this.
And now Gina Trapani and her tip of the week. Nice
tip. I'm glad Gina started it, not me. I went too far, but Gina started it.
Like the fact that I can embarrass you too, achievement unlocked, okay? That's all I'm saying.
Prestige 11. All right,
let's
go ahead.
Talk about something really innocuous. Google Calendar. This is a really good productivity tip.
Oh, boy.
If you and your friends, your coworkers all use Google Calendar and you have the pleasure of scheduling a meeting with lots of attendees, when you enter their names, Google Calendar will now suggest good times where everybody is free. So there's a little suggested times link in the attendee list. This is really awesome because it's always hard to find a time when everyone's free. The only bad thing is everybody has to be using Google Calendar in order for this to work. So this has worked really well for Google Apps users who, you know, your whole company is on Google Apps or, you know, I don't know, your softball team or whatever is all using Google Calendar. But you'll see that suggested times link underneath the attendees list when you create a new meeting or event with multiple attendees in Google Calendar. And there's no porn involved.
None at all.
None.
Zip.
I like that. You know what's going to happen is when the company fires people, you're going to see somebody still show up there and be sad every time. I would have invited them, but I can't.
That is pretty funny.
I'm free all day, every day now. Suggest the time, anytime.
Jeff, your tip of, or I'm sorry, your number of the week.
All right. This is not terribly momentous, but Crowd Science, this is on ZDNet, put out a study of people liking things, and they say that 1 in 10 Facebook users have liked wall post pictures, comments, et cetera, which is a little smaller than I thought.
I thought it'd be close to 100%.
Yeah.
Really?
60% of wall posts, 60% pictures, 60% comments, 12% videos, and so on. Huh. In other words, why do they do it? 28% show support, 28% enjoyed what was being said or shown, 14% liked the brand, which actually I think they should be pretty happy about, that's high up. 10% keep me informed about the brand, 7% inform friends about the brand. That all amazes me. And then get discounts and get a sweepstakes. So nothing momentous there, but I found that the low number on liking was kind of interesting.
Hmm. I want to mention as my tool of the week, Google Authenticator. We've talked about this before. It's an app for Android, and iPhone has a version as well. You run the app, and it will give you a token. And now, of course, in order to use Google Authenticator, you have to have a site that does what we call two-factor authentication, a password plus the token. By having it in your cell phone, somebody, in order to crack that account, would have to know your password and have your phone itself. which is, I think, a really good secondary form of authentication. And the tool I use for password authentication, LastPass, has just added that in its update, so that if you use LastPass, you're definitely going to want to use Google Authenticator. Used to be you had to have your own authentication program running on a USB key. Now you just have it on your phone. So a really good way to secure LastPass and all your passwords. Google Authenticator, it's free from Google iPhone and Android. And no, Eric Schmidt is not the tool of the week.
That LastPass tip is a really good one, though.
Yeah. Isn't LastPass great? I love it.
LastPass is awesome.
And adding second-factor authentication through Google Authenticator is fantastic.
Yep.
LastPass has both free and paid versions. The paid version is $1 a month. Worth getting the
LastPass. Yeah, totally worth it. I paid for it just for the mobile app.
I agree. Gina Trapani is at smarterware.org. That's her blog. You got to read it every day. Great stuff. And, of course, she works on this amazing ThinkUp app, which is being used more and more by people. Did you see that Steve Martin is putting out a book of his tweets?
Yes, I did.
And you're the enabler.
Yeah, I'm excited. The book of tweets is going to include replies. And, yes, there was a point at which I was explaining to him how to get the CVS file, the CSV file. And so, yeah, I think ThinkUp helped him out with that. So I'm
excited
about
that. I need a way. He asked me, I said, I need a way to collate my tweets and replies because I'm thinking maybe a book. This was a long time ago. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, let's get you together with Gina and ThinkUp. And so he's had a ThinkUp account for some time.
Yeah, you hook me up. He has great data, incredible charts.
Well, I expect there'll be an acknowledgement for you in the book. I would expect.
I hope so. Yeah. That'd be exciting.
Should be.
That's neat. And his tweets are hysterical, so I think it'll be a great
book. Yeah, it's very funny.
You're his gateway to the tweeter. And, of course, don't forget Jeff Jarvis at buzzmachine.com. And his book is Public Parts. You must get it. It's in better bookstores everywhere, and a really interesting discussion.
But not in airports, which pisses me off. So people, when you go to an airport, do me a favor. Ask for it.
Yeah. You mean all airports or some?
No, because they're bozos who do airport deals. So I asked people if my friends all ask for it in airports, is that a good thing? And they said yes. So harass them.
Okay, good. They pay attention to that. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Gina. Thank you all for being here. We do this show at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern time at twit.tv, so you can watch live. And 1 p.m. Pacific is now 2100 UTC. Eileen Rivera, our producer. Yes, ma'am?
I just wanted to do a pitch for the Best Of, twit.tv/Best Of. You could give us your submissions for any of our shows, especially This Week in Google. Just fill out a couple of forms of your favorite story.
I think
or
us
moment.
Singing and dancing, our glee moments probably are going to get
absolutely. That's going to make it. But, you know, if you've got a particular story that you want to have us replay, we'll do that.
Excellent. Yeah, that's for our holiday episodes, because we have a week in between Christmas and New Year's Day where we want to let everybody go home. So we'll do Best Of episodes on that week. So help us out. twit.tv/Best Of. Thank you, everybody, for being here. We'll see you next time on This Week in Google.